Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 57, Brahmas, dealing the boys and calves. Iti re si tarke nija mahimani sva pramitike. Paratrajato tan nirasana mukha brahma ka mitau. Anishe pidrastum kim midamiti vamuyati sati. Kaccha dajo gyatva sapati paramau jajavani kam. Anyone like to try? No one? You want to do? Go ahead. Iti re si tarke nija mahimani sva pramitike. Paratrajato tan nirasana mukha brahmaha mito. Anise pidustam kim idamiti vamuyati sati. Kachada jo jatitra sapadi paramoja jabananikam. Iti sritrake nija mahimani sva pramitike. Paratra jato tan nirsana mukha brahmaha mito. Anise pidrastum kim idam iti vamuyati sati. Kaccha dajo jatva sapadi paramo jajadaminikam. Iti, thus, ira ise. Lord Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, Ira, Atarkye, beyond, Nija Mahimani, whose own glory, Sva Pramitike, self-manifest and blissful, Paratra, beyond, Ajataha, the material energy, Prakriti, Atat, irrelevant, Nirasana Mukha, by the rejection of that which is irrelevant, Brahmaka, by the crest jewels of the Vedas, Mitau, in whom there is knowledge. Anise, not being able. Api, even. Drastum, to see. Kim, What? Idam. Is this? Iti. Thus. Va. Or. Muyati sati. Being mystified. Kachchada. Removed. Ajaha. Lord Sri Krishna. Gyatva. After understanding. Sapadi. At once. Paramaha. The greatest of all. Ajajavanikam. The curtain of Maya. Translation. The Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in his own bliss, and he is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. Thus, in relation to that Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glory had been shown by the manifestation of all the four-armed forms of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was mystified. What is this? He thought. And then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his yoga maya. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. A very, very long purport. 3 pages. And that's good, you'll have to hear me less. That's what he's saying. And he's correct. This we want to hear from Srila Prabhupada. And this all just days before Srila Prabhupada left. And his God sister Daivashakti Mataji was saying the other day, this is truly amazing how, despite his body being literally, we have that expression, skin and bones, Prabhupada was literally, I was there in September. I was here in Vrindavan for a few weeks with Srila Prabhupada, September of 1977. And I hadn't seen him since almost 2 years before, early 1976, when that was always how I had seen Srila Prabhupada. And to this day, it's how I always see him in my mind's eye. But seeing him like that was very, very difficult. But despite all that, Srila Prabhupada, lying down on the bed, was speaking like this. So his everything was crystal clear. There was no cloud of Mahamaya, no cloud of ignorance at all in Srila Prabhupada from the beginning until the very last breath he took. He was completely Krishna conscious. So we'll go through this purport together. Brahma was completely mystified. He could not understand what he was seeing. And then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then removed that yoga maya covering. In this verse, Brahma is referred to as Irasha. Ira means Saraswati, the goddess of learning. And Irasha is her husband, Lord Brahma. Brahma, therefore, is most intelligent. But even Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was bewildered about Krishna. Although he tried, he could not understand Lord Krishna. In the beginning, the boys, the calves, and Krishna himself had been covered by yoga maya, which later displayed the second set of calves and boys, who were Krishna's expansions, and which then displayed so many four-armed forms. Now, seeing Brahma's bewilderment, Lord Krishna caused the disappearance of that yoga maya. One may think that the maya taken away by Lord Krishna was Mahamaya, But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that it was Yoga Maya, the potency by which Krishna is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. The potency which covers the actual reality and displays something unreal is Mahamaya. But the potency by which the absolute truth is sometimes manifest and sometimes not is Yoga Maya. Therefore, in this verse, the word Aja refers to Yoga Maya. Krishna's energy, his Maya Shakti or Swarup Shakti, is one, but it is manifested in varieties. Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Sruyate, Svata Svatara Upanishad. The difference between Vaishnavas and Mayavadis is that Mayavadis say that this Maya is one, whereas Vaishnavas recognize its varieties. There is unity in variety. For example, in one tree there are varieties of leaves, fruits, and flowers. Varieties of energy are required for performing the varieties of activity within the creation. To give another example, in a machine, all the parts may be iron, but the machine includes varied activities. Although the whole machine is iron, one part works in one way, another part works in other ways. One who does not know how the machine is working may say that it is all iron. Nonetheless, in spite of its being iron, the machine has different elements, all working differently to accomplish the purpose for which the machine was made. One wheel runs this way, another wheel runs that way, functioning naturally in such a way that the work of the machine goes on. Consequently, we give different names to the different parts of the machine, saying, this is a wheel, this is a screw, this is a spindle, this is the lubrication, and so on. Similarly, as explained in the Vedas, Parasya Shaktir Vividaiva Sruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Krishna's power is variegated, and thus the same Shakti or potency works in variegated ways. Vivida means varieties. There is unity in variety. Thus, Yoga Maya and Mahamaya are among the varied individual parts of the same one potency. And all of these individual potencies work in their own varied ways. The Samvit, Sandini, and Aladini potencies, Krishna's potency for existence, his potency for knowledge, and his potency for pleasure are distinct from Yoga Maya. Each is an individual potency. Aladini potency is Radharani. As Swarup Damodar Goswami has explained, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vriktir Ladini Shaktir Asmat. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 5. Aladini Shakti is manifested as Radharani, but Krishna and Radharani are the same, although one is potent and the other is potency. Brahma was mystified about Krishna's opulence, Nija Mahimani, because this opulence was atarkya, or inconceivable. With one's limited senses, one cannot argue about that which is inconceivable. I'll say that again. With one's limited senses, one cannot argue about that which is inconceivable. Therefore, the inconceivable is called achintya, that which is beyond chintya, our thoughts and arguments. Achintya refers to that which we cannot contemplate but have to accept. Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless we accept the chintya in the Supreme, we cannot accommodate the conception of God. This must be understood. Therefore, we say that the words of Shastra should be taken as they are, without change, since they are beyond our arguments. Achintya kaluya bhavana itams tarkena yojayet. That which is achintya cannot be ascertained by argument. People generally argue, but our process is not to argue, but to accept the Vedic knowledge as it is. When Krishna says this is superior and this is inferior, we accept what he says. It is not that we argue, why is this superior and that inferior? If one argues for him, the knowledge is lost. This path of acceptance is called avaroha panta. The word avaroha is related to the word avatara, which means that which descends. The materialist wants to understand everything by aroha panta, by argument and reason. But the transcendental matters cannot be understood in this way. Rather, one must follow the avaroha panta, the process of descending knowledge. Therefore, one must accept the parampara system, and the best parampara is that which extends from Krishna, evam parampara praptam. What Krishna says, we should accept. Imam rajarsayo vidu. This is called avaroha panta. Brahma, however, adopted the aroha panta. Avaroha panta, and this is aroha panta. He wanted to understand Krishna's mystic power by his own limited conceivable power, and therefore he himself was mystified. Everyone wants to take pleasure in his own knowledge, thinking, I know something. But in the presence of Krishna, this conception cannot stand. For one cannot bring Krishna within the limitations of prakriti. One must submit. There is no alternative. Natam starkena yojayet. This submission marks the difference between Krishnaites and Mayavadis. The phrase antan nirasana refers to the discarding of that which is irrelevant. Atat means that which is not a fact. Brahman is sometimes described as ashtulam, anavarasvam, adirgam, that which is not large and not small, not short and not long. From the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. Neti neti, it is not this, it is not that. But what is it? In describing a pencil, one may say, it is not this, it is not that. But this does not tell us what it is. This is called definition by negation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains the soul by giving negative definitions. Najayate mriyate va. It is not born, nor does it die. You can hardly understand more than this. But what is it? It is eternal. Ajo nitya sasvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamane sarire. It is unborn, eternal, ever existing, undying, and primeval. It is not slain when the body is slain. Bhagavad Gita 2:20. In the beginning, the soul is difficult to understand, and therefore Krishna has given negative definitions. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahiti pravaka, nachannam klade yantya po, naso satihi marutaha. The soul can never be cut into pieces by any weapon, nor can it be burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. Bhagavad Gita 2:23. Krishna says, it is not burned by fire. Therefore, one has to imagine what it is that is not burned by fire. This is a negative definition. Translation. Translation: the Supreme Brahman is beyond mental speculation. He is self-manifest, existing in his own bliss, and he is beyond the material energy. He is known by the crest jewels of the Vedas, by refutation of irrelevant knowledge. Thus, in relation to the Supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, whose glory had been shown by the manifestation of all the four-armed forms of Vishnu, Lord Brahma, the Lord of Saraswati, was mystified. "What is this?" he thought. And then he was not even able to see. Lord Krishna, understanding Brahma's position, then at once removed the curtain of his yoga maya. I wish you would remove it for me right now. Any questions? Om Agnata Mirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chaksulin Mulatam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayarupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Patandikam Panchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So reading through this, and especially the translation, it brought me way back to the beginning days when I joined, when I started going to the temple. It was before I even moved into the temple. After school, my friend and I, we would go to a class at the temple in Philadelphia. Divashakti Mataji, she was there then. And they had Sri Upanishad classes. Those, if you went back to that time, I remember every day, there was just a few books of Srila Prabhupada were there, and one of them was Sri Upanishad. And it was very interesting, Sri Upanishad, because it speaks about Krishna all the time, but it doesn't mention his name so much. It was done in a very special way. I found it very interesting. So much philosophy was there. And the devotees were told to memorize all the verses. I think it's 18 verses, huh? 18 verses in Sri Upanishad. They were told to memorize all of the verses. So every day they would chant. And at that time, even the meter of chanting the verses wasn't very well known. Even they were chanting Jaya Radha Madhava to a different melody. I don't know if you recall back then, I remember early on chanting Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivana Dari. Then we heard Srila Prabhupada chanting again and again and again. But so we were memorizing those verses. First, of course, the invocation, Om Purnam Araha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate. But this one verse came to mind reading this. And that was the, let's see here, what is it? 15. Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pitim mukam tatvam pushan aparinu satya dharmaya dristaye. The translation, O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. So always remember these verses going back there in this beginning times. Such a wonderful book by Srila Prabhupada. And here, just reading this, again, I would hear Srila Prabhupada most evenings or early mornings. Very often I woke up to his translating Srimad Bhagavatam. But to imagine Srila Prabhupada in his room here at this time, October, November 1977, just continuing these verses, and to imagine, of course we know nothing is by accident, right? Nothing happens by accident. And so Prabhupada's here in Vrindavan, performing his final leela, and he's right here in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about Krishna, the cowherd boys. As I said, when I first met Prabhupada in his first personal meeting with him was in May 1972. That was months before I was a servant. And that was in the garden. And since I was holding the Krishna book, I had become the Krishna book reader, had a designated, as I mentioned, designated Krishna book reader. The first thing he said to me when he looked at me, telling me to read, he didn't tell me to read, he looked at me and said, "I like the Cowherd Boys very much." And that was his way of saying, "Start reading." And then it was 2 years later, looking at Krishna, the Cowherd Boys, Balaram, the calves, young boys, they said the same thing, "I like the Cowherd Boys very much." So now here he is in Vrindavan performing his final pastimes. And again, he's appreciating so much to speak such a purport at this time. You know, this was time when Prabhupada left, and of course, some of it was put on video by Yadavara Prabhu, and we called it the final lesson. I have not watched the final lesson. I watched the first 1 minute or so, and I can't bring myself to even see Prabhupada. But Prabhupada wanted it. That was the thing. It wasn't done by Yadavara's own desire. In fact, he was filming, he was recording in Prabhupada's room. And some of his godbrothers, they said, no, you shouldn't do this. And Prabhupada said, "You should be here all the time taking these videos." So Prabhupada, as he showed us everything, he told us about his childhood, his early years with his family, growing up. He told us about the relationship with his mother and father. He told me how his father, how he said about his father who gave him everything, whatever he wanted. This is, I think this is common in Indian culture, Hindu culture. The child, son, whatever he wants, you just let him do it. Whatever he's doing, you just let him go on. Of course, Prabhupada said that until the age of 5. But it seemed like with Prabhupada's father, he always, whatever he wanted, he could do. And then Prabhupada said, "Perhaps my father knew." And that's all he said, just one sentence, which was also Prabhupada's way. He would never go very deeply into explaining who he was. Prabhupada understood who he was, what he was doing, traveling around the world, everywhere. He put his lotus feet, became a tirtha. You know, we all come to Vrindavan because Krishna's lotus feet are everywhere here in Vrindavan. It's a tirtha. Kurukshetra is a tirtha. Mayapur is a tirtha. All these places, they're important because the Lord and his pure devotees, they were there. Their lotus feet were there walking in the sands of these places. So Prabhupada took that and multiplied it hundreds, thousands of times, placing those lotus feet here and there all over the world, purifying everywhere that had been hundreds, thousands of years contaminated by so many sinful activities. And then I was thinking, Prabhupada's books. This is, of course, month marathon. Like we always say in the USA, the Christmas marathon, the holiday season. Everybody's out shopping. And the devotees made it their business to be out shopping for whoever they could give a book to, a nice book for the holidays. And I was thinking, these are also tirthas, Prabhupada's words, Prabhupada's books. As he told me, I've told that story so many times, but it's worth telling so many times. I would see Prabhupada reading his books. The first service I had was reading his book, his Krishna book. Reading it to him. And from that moment, I had a little understanding. It wasn't his book. It was Krishna's book. It was Krishna's pastimes. It was Krishna's words. But then as time went on, being with Prabhupada, I got to see that more and more. Just how much Prabhupada understood whatever he was saying was from Krishna. And he would read his books daily. I said, just like we see sometimes here in management, huh? We have our morning program. Then after breakfast, so much activity is going on, so much management activities. That's what Prabhupada did. All his management like that was very much after breakfast. He would call in the temple president, sannyasis, GBCs, discussions would be there, what's going on in this particular temple, what's going on in the society. Then he had his massage. That was more management. During his massage, secretary would read the letters. Prabhupada was very eager to see what was going on. Those letters. In 1973, Karandar was biggest devotee in ISKCON. When I joined, 1971, became Prabhupada's servant in 1972, everyone in the society knew Karandar. He was in Los Angeles, which was the world headquarters. He was a GBC, and he was so serious. Always remember that look. Never saw a smile. And this was very infectious to everyone. Krishna consciousness meant you're very grave, very serious. Never break a smile. He never broke a smile. Then when I saw Prabhupada, he was laughing. I thought, finally, someone's smiling. Someone's laughing. Serious, all this serious was very difficult for me. I needed a little humor. But he was very serious. Prabhupada said, Karandar can do anything. He had such faith in Karandar. He said, he can do anything. So that was 1973. And all this difficulty was going on in Juhu with the property, letters, telegrams. Prabhupada's walking around his room, chanting on his beads loudly. He said, when you have anxiety, you chant very loudly on your beads. You could hear his beads inside the bead bag. They were chanting very loudly as well. And then he said, call Karandar. I want to cross the street. That was his office right across the street. Ran across the street, got Karandar. Prabhupada wants to see you. White dhoti, white kurta, gray jacket. Okay, didn't ask why, just okay. That's Prabhupada saying here. And this is how we understand. Just yes, how high. We don't say why. Why is it like this? Prabhupada goes on 3 pages describing. We don't argue. You get the order, yes, okay. So I got Karandar. I would always go back in the room with whoever he called. We both go, sit, offer obeisances. Prabhupada looks at Karandar. 1973. He says, I want to concentrate on my translation work. Prabhupada understood this was the most important business, these books. Why? Because we still have these books. We still have Srila Prabhupada in these books. 1973, he knew I could be gone any time. He said it from the very day he came to America. Any moment I can be gone. But these books will be here. So now 50 years later, Prabhupada's here. Every last breath he gave for these books. So Prabhupada always wanted, he was so eager to give away management. You manage. That's what he said. You manage. I want to do these books. I have to concentrate. And it's very, he said it requires so much concentration. He said all this management gives me a headache. He said, so I want you to manage. He says, when the mail comes in, you deal with it. He said, we'll set up. Karandar was delighted. He was happy. Yes, Prabhupada. He said, we can do that. He said, this is the world headquarters. You can place yourself here. Such nice facility, nice weather. His room was nice. His garden was the favorite place, he said, in the whole world. Yes, Prabhupada, we'll do it. Prabhupada said, good. He said, I want to be relieved of all this management. He said, how can I translate? It's worrying, all these things. Yes, Prabhupada. Okay, he said, we'll begin that. He said, you take charge. Yes, Prabhupada. He could do anything. Prabhupada said, he had such faith in him that he could manage everything. So then about an hour went by. Prabhupada rang his bell. Went in, offered obeisances. Said, call Karandar. So I went back to Karandar's office. Prabhupada wants to see you. So we both go into the room. And I'm thinking, I was very young. And I was very new with Srila Prabhupada. He said something, just, that's it, finished. You know, there's no question. I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Prabhupada's going to turn over the whole society, all of ISKCON, worldwide society, to Karandar to manage. We offer obeisances and sit up. Prabhupada looks. There was a letter in Karandar's pocket of his kurta. So you know, the top of the letter, the envelope, was sticking out. Prabhupada saw the letter. He said, what is that? Karandar said, oh, so Prabhupada, it's a letter to you. Prabhupada said, open it. Read it. And then he read the letter. Prabhupada gave his response. And that was the end of Karandar being the manager. Prabhupada could not separate himself from what he had created. His child, this ISKCON society, was his baby, an infant. As much as he wanted to, he saw he had to do everything. He had to make sure everything was going on. We were children. That was 1973. 1977, he kind of saw the whole thing was not a lot different. He said, not one of you, he said to them, is qualified. He said, but together, he said, together you can come up. Hopefully, you could come up with proper decisions and what to do. And then we're toddlers. Now, I don't know, maybe teenagers or something. But still, we always have to look to Prabhupada. To his instructions, to his books. And that's why, it's, for all the difficulty that was there, for all the management that he did, he carried on translating every day, every night. Sometimes he would go, Ambarish, that whole Hawaii property. Ambarish bought that in 1974. So Prabhupada could have a nice place to translate. It was a house, big house, on 3 acres of land. in one of the nicest spots on the whole island. So it was a beautiful place, still beautiful place. 50 years later, Panchatattva are there. But it was so, Prabhupada had a nice place to translate. In the middle of nowhere, Hawaii's, they say, is the most remote populated area in the world, Hawaii. I just read they're expecting a snowstorm in Mauna Kea, 12 inches of snow. Hawaii is a very bizarre place. Sometimes you get snow, you have volcanoes. Otherwise, you have coconuts. Prabhupada liked that as well, the coconuts. Huh? And sometimes he was there and he would translate all day, all night, because none of the devotees were coming, giving him headaches, managing so many headaches. Prabhupada bore for us to create this society so we could be here. Everywhere where his lotus feet were, all tirthas, so we could take shelter there, practice Krishna consciousness, read his books, chant our rounds all over the world. A few devotees, my godbrothers, they complimented my kurta. They said I look like a prisoner. You'd have to be old enough to know. Back in those days in the 50s, and that was prison outfit, was like this. So if they escaped jail, they were very easy to find because no one wore anything like this. So you would see the striped thing and you knew he was an escaped convict. But I think it was very nice because I am a prisoner. I want to be a prisoner. Unfortunately, I have to leave to get a visa. Otherwise, I'm very happy to be imprisoned here in this place, Vrindavan, Prabhupada's home. I know I say it once, twice, 100,000 times. Don't take this place for granted, your ability to be here. My whole life, if you've read my book, if you've heard me, I never liked to be in India. I didn't even want to be Prabhupada's servant in India. I tried to make an arrangement for his previous servant to come, because India was scared me to death. Sick, sick, sick. It's all I ever was in India back in those days. So I didn't want to be in India. It took me 50 years, a lot of mercy, a lot of compassion by Srila Prabhupada. Somehow or other, I don't want to leave Vrindavan. That's my only fear. Going is something could happen. This world is so insane. Every day more, just when you think it can't get any crazier, it's become more crazy. In 48 hours, they've gone, taken it to another level in this material world. But wherever we are, we always have Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, by his mercy. But don't take being here for granted. This is a very special place, this temple, Prabhupada's home. And he wanted the devotees here to be very, very careful to set proper example that he would be proud of. That was always his anxiety. What was the headache? That was the headache. That I'm trying to teach these people to be Krishna conscious. Like he said, when the devotee said, Prabhupada, we're all your puppets. He said, yes, I want you to go like this, and you're going like this. None of you know what puppets. This is what a puppeteer did. He had his little two pieces of wood in this shape, four strings, and they controlled the arms and the legs, and that's what made the puppet move. So you go this way, the puppet's moving one way. You go this way, he's doing just the opposite. That's what Prabhupada saw. He was always trying to correct us from going the wrong way. And he had, in those days, those final days, those final months, he wanted everyone to come. But in particular, he wanted his leaders to see what Krishna consciousness was. Whenever they were with him, it was always about training them to see how a devotee conducts themselves, how they walk, how they talk, how they deal with others, everything. He was the example, the living example, the living Bhagavat, person Bhagavat. That was Prabhupada. Just by seeing him, you could learn so much. So we could go on and on. Anyway, I'm very happy I was able to speak a little today. It'll be a little while, I think, before I get to give another class here. So if there's any questions or comments, yes, Panchagoda Prabhu.
You said we should not change the words of the guru. And of course, book distribution was the main emphasis throughout the 76, 77, Prabhupada was letting everyone know about the craziness of Kali Yuga and how so much demoniac governance and everything going to fall apart. So he was emphasizing Varnashram Dharma. So some people's interpretations of the essence of Prabhupada books may be one thing, whereas somebody else's interpretation may be something different, and different leadership is pushing a different way. So how do we not make a mistake by understanding exactly what is the best way to go?
Good question.
That's why he
traveled so much, and he wanted his leaders to see, those who were the leaders, to see how he did things. Because a personal association is very, very important, you know. Like Prajumna told me, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, his Panditji, he said the books are passive, you know, the deities are passive. We all see whatever we want to see. You read, like you say, if we all read this certain passage, we'll all have a little different idea of what it means. So many different ideas. So therefore, the pure devotee, he's the active principle in Krishna consciousness. So depending on our own inclinations, of course, we have to attach ourselves to the person we see following Prabhupada very strictly. His principles, what he did, how he did things. He exhibited how to be a sannyasi. He showed, he had sannyasis travel with him, said how you should be some, what it meant to be a sannyasi. I saw him in the room, half a dozen sannyasis. He talked to them differently than he talked to others. They had a very special role in society. He said, keep in a cool place. No association with women. That's what Prabhupada did. From the beginning, he performed marriages. He had no choice. But then there was a point, there's a letter, Prabhupada says, I'm not dealing with any of this grahasta business anymore. You call your GBC, your temple president. He wanted to turn over leadership to those qualified. We still struggle here in this material world. You know, I know I do. And you know, from being with Prabhupada so long, it's always been very easy for me to see others doing things wrong. This is not what Prabhupada would want. Whether I could do it myself, that was another thing, but I could always see, this is not Prabhupada's program. This is Prabhupada's program. This is how, you know, this is how he did this. This is how he chanted. This is how he took prasadam. Everything, he had a way of doing it. And the more we do that, the better our situation is. Change. How many times did I hear him say, change disease. Look at our position now, you know. Frankly, we've changed so many things. Everything. There's a book coming out. It's already been printed so many. Kirtan standards. You know, there's ways. Prabhupada set an example. But then also at times they say, well, Prabhupada, he allowed this to happen. He allowed. Yes, he allowed it. Because there was no point in saying the same thing over and over and people not following. So he said, okay. Like here he said, when he said, I'm an old man. I can tell you over and over to shave your head. How many times am I going to tell you? You know, neither I can tell you. You're all adults. So, you know, he had what he wanted, and then he accepted. Does that answer your question? He said that as well. He said, if you're not preaching, live on the farm. He said, the grahastas, if you're not out there preaching. He said, if the West has two businesses, preaching and sense gratification, which means if you're not preaching, you're in the West for sense gratification. That's what he said. Who wants to hear these things? No, well, he meant this, he meant that. No, he said, you do like this or you do like that. Go live on the farm, he said. If you're not a preacher, show by example. That's also preaching. It's a passive kind of preaching, but it's preaching. So yes, yeah, so many, we can follow, and he accepts to the capacity that we can follow. That's his mercy. I see that with myself. He accepts my service according to my capacity to this day. But that doesn't mean that this is the best thing to do. There's always so much room for improvement in all of us. Never ends. Prabhupada saw it in himself to improve. We know that. Prabhupada said it's like the ocean, Krishna consciousness, the nectar of Krishna consciousness, the never ending. We're never just content. Now I've reached my platform. I'm doing everything very nicely. Now I can relax. No relaxing. If you came here to relax, you came to the wrong place. So if you did come here to relax, you're in the wrong place. And you're going to be told over and over and over. Hopefully, someone will try to write what you're doing. So many times when we were sleeping, Prabhupada woke us up. Why are you sleeping? Do something, read, chant. You can sleep. When you die, then you can sleep all you want. But not now. He didn't like our sleeping, especially during the day. But he didn't say, okay, out of here. He dealt with it. So that's your job. Always have to deal with it. And that's a headache. But it's a headache we take for Prabhupada. Anything else? Ah, Karbhajan. Prabhupada liked preaching, yes. Even that's what he did. He had his deities, they were sitting in the room, in one of his, like when Los Angeles was there. And his sannyasis, they travel, preach. That's the best. Deity worship is for family, grahastas. You know, you have your family, that's also, everything is preaching. Everything can be seen as preaching in its way. So even in family life, we have the deities. We take care of the deities. You're showing, that's what Prabhupada said. He learned everything as a child by watching his father. So that's preaching. Thing is to be serious. Krishna consciousness is serious business. As Kurunder was serious, grave, it is serious. It's not some lackadaisical process. It's a very serious process that we have to take seriously. Otherwise, what kind of example are we setting? Our business especially is older set an example. And when they say something, someone that's been around 40, 50 years says something, you should be like this. Don't be offended, be grateful. Somebody's around after 50 years. You want to be here, youngsters, you want to be here 30, 40, 50 years from now. So way is to take seriously the process. Preaching is life, right? But he quoted his spiritual master. It requires life to be a preacher. And similarly, preaching gives life. You know, life is preaching. So you have to have life to preach. You have to have Krishna to give Krishna to others. Anything else? It's your last chance. Okay. So, everyone, you should all get these nice prison uniforms. All become prisoners. Krishna Balaram, stay here in Vrindavan. So many people to preach. Here in Vrindavan, you can preach constantly. Distribute books, the best preaching. Prabhupada says, distributing his books. When I left Prabhupada, that's what I see. I tried as my excuse. Prabhupada, I want to preach. I was a servant. Imagine. See, this is Maya. This is not Yoga Maya, this is Mahamaya. But in order to save face, as if he didn't know me completely, I said, Prabhupada, I want to preach. He looked at me immediately. He said, my preaching's not good enough. So in the same way, distribute books. His preaching's not good enough. Give people Prabhupada's books. It's the best thing you can do. What are you going to say? Prabhupada, any book, from Sri Shupanishad up to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, any book, you put it in their hands, they'll be eternally benefited. It's the best preaching any one of us can do. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.